This evening, we are looking at 1 John chapter 2, verses 28 and 29. The last two verses of 1 John chapter 2. Verse 28 says, "And now, dear children, continue in him so that when he appears, we may be confident and unashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who does what is right has been born of him." We notice now this is a new section that John is writing, because it starts off with this word, "and now." It is like a concluding appeal to the people who are reading this epistle, to the church that he is writing this to, especially to think of the situation that they are in the midst of the seductive efforts of the false teachers. He is now concluding it and saying, "Hey, look here, I've given you the doctrinal instructions. Now I have a duty that you must follow in the present, looking forward for the fact of his coming again." So in the first two chapters, he's given us details about who Jesus is. He's given us details about the Antichrist. And now in conclusion, he's saying, "This is how I want you to live in the light of Christ coming back again." And this is why he starts off by saying, "And now, little children, abide in him." Remember, we said this earlier also, this is John writing when he is pretty old, and this is a very endearing term that he uses to address these individuals. They are not necessarily small children, but individuals who have come to know the Lord, individuals who are believers, because that's a word meaning for children, an individual who is born, or an individual who is a learner, an individual who is a student. So he's writing to these individuals and saying, "Hey, look here, there are false teachers, you have come to know the Lord, you have a genuine faith, and I'm reminding you and I'm appealing to you, make sure that you still remain, you still abide in him." He's already spoken about abiding and says, and he's saying, "Hey, little children, you are born in the faith. You have Christ living in you. But make sure that you continue to abide in him. Continue to allow God to take control over your life. In the midst of all that is happening, make sure that you do not give up." As you grow in your Christian walk, you'll be exposed to so many other things, so many new teachings or situations in life. But he's saying, "Hey guys, make sure that you do not give up. Continue to hold on. Continue to abide." Remember, Jesus very clearly used this verse, if you notice, where he spoke about abiding in him, the vine and the branches. And by abiding in him, we are able to bear fruit. So when you're thinking about abiding, the word abide we spoke earlier means residing, a permanent dwelling, taking up permanent residence. But this is not so much so speaking about a passive thing. It is an active abiding. We must continue to give ourselves mentally and spiritually to remain in him. Now, when you're speaking about abide again, it means somebody who does not give up, somebody who continues to remain, somebody who is a permanent resident. That's the meaning of abide. So John writing to the church here, he's saying, "You are doing this and I'm encouraging you, continue to do this." Okay. Then he gives us a reason when he says "so that." It's a term of a purpose. The purpose is Jesus is coming back again. Yes, you may go through tough times. Yes, you may be exposed to false teachers. But this is for a time period so that when he comes back again, you would not be ashamed. So the purpose of abiding is in order that when at the second coming Christ is revealed, we would have confidence to meet him in the air. We would have confidence to see him face to face. We will not be ashamed. So he is very specifically mentioning that Jesus is going to appear at his appearing. Now, the word that is used there for appearing also is spoken of as clearly visible, okay? Just as much as when Christ came back and came the first time as a baby visible, when he comes back again, every eye shall see him, okay? When we speak about, the second coming of Christ, we also use this, word, the imminent coming. The word that is used, imminent means, something that is going to happen very, very soon. It describes an event which is like hanging over one's head and ready to, fall, okay? That's the understanding of the imminent appearing of Jesus. So, the early church lived the life that was expected of them because they believed that Christ was going to come back very soon. And that was the motivation for them to continue to abide. Even today, there could be individuals like the false teachers, when Paul writes to the church and says, hey, look, there are guys who have said, oh, you have been speaking about Christ coming back. He's not come back for so many years. And that was when he was writing to the church then. But even today, 2,000 years later, individuals, some of them will say, hey, look here, Christ coming is not going to happen. It's no longer going to be imminent. It's not a soon going and a happening because we have talked about it for so long. No. This is a reality. So the more we understand the soon appearance of Jesus, the more we will be able to be strong in our faith. If we think that Christ is not going to come back again, then we would live very casual lives. So the nearness of Christ's coming affords us a motive for the effort that we must put in to make sure that when he comes back, we would not be found wanting, we would not be ashamed of his coming, but we would be living lives that are full of confidence or looking forward for his coming, okay? John Wesley put it across this way when he said, catch the golden moments as they fly. In other words, making sure that we are using every opportunity that is given to us before his coming back again so that we are able to live for him. Now, for the second coming, there's also another Greek word that is used called parousia, which basically means not just the coming, but the presence of his coming. That's the word that is used for the second coming. So when you're thinking about the second coming, it is more of meeting the Lord. Yes, it's going to be an event, the second coming of Christ, but it is more of the presence of the Lord. So this is why when you're looking at this passage and when you're also looking at the second coming events, sometimes a person may say, okay, after so many years, it will happen, or these are the signs of his coming, So when this happens, then I will be ready. There are some people who will say, before the coming back again of the Lord, the temple has to be rebuilt in Jerusalem. So once they start rebuilding, then I know his coming is going to be near. Then I will put my house in order. No, you can't do that. Because none of us knows the day or the hour of his coming. That's one part of it. But also on the other hand, none of us knows when we will die. We can die at any time, isn't it? So we don't have to look at all the signs and events of his coming and say, okay, I'm going to prepare myself for that. But rather we should live every day as if this was the last day. So that when we die, we would go to be in the presence of God. That's the meaning of parousia. Yes, it's the coming, but also it's the presence of God. So whether we are alive when he comes back so that we go into his presence or we die and go into his presence, which can happen at any time, the John writing here says, hey, continue to abide so that you will have confidence. Whether you die and go to be with the Lord or you're alive when he comes back and you go into his presence. Now, this event of the second coming, is mentioned plenty of times in scripture. Now, somebody has calculated and said one verse in 25 deals with the Lord's return. It is mentioned 318 times in the 260 chapters of the New Testament, It is mentioned in every one of the New Testament books, with the exception of Galatians, which deals with a doctrinal problem, and the short books of 2nd and 3rd John and Philemon. In other words, Jesus very specifically mentioned about his coming, and the early church also emphasized this very, very much. Remember Jesus on the night before his crucifixion, when the disciples were all worried, hey, you are going, what will happen to us? And so he very clearly tells them, isn't it, in John 14, 1 to 3, do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. But I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. This was the confidence that the disciples had, because Jesus said, I'm going to come back again to take you. And every day they were living with that anticipation. So even though they died before, in that sense, his coming back again, as soon as they died, they looked forward for his presence, and that is how they lived each day. Also in Acts chapter 1, verse 11, when the disciples watched the risen Christ being ascended bodily into heaven, the scripture teaches us that two angels appeared and said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in just the same way as you have watched him go into heaven. So that was the closing, if you were to say, assurance. And yes, Jesus said he's going to come back. When he ascended again, he sent the angels to give this declaration, to give this confidence that this is not going to be the end. There's more to come when he's going to come back and take them to be with him. So he says, when he appears, when he manifests himself, when he physically appears. Right now, he is invisible, but there is going to come a time when he is going to become visible, whether in his appearing here on earth or when you die, you go into his presence. So our daily desire has to be, Lord, I want to see your presence, live for your presence, whether I die and go to be with you, or when you come, I am here. So when you and I come back to earth to take me, I would not be caught napping, if you were to say, okay? That is what God wants us to do. Christ is returning for his church. And when he returns for his bride, you know, the Christians, you know, will not be judged, if you were to say, you know, for their sins, because they'll be judged on the basis of what Christ has done for them on the cross, acceptance of that. And they will be judged on their faithfulness. Their faithfulness will get a reward, okay? Those who have not been faithful will not get any rewards. They will lose their rewards. So there is going to be that judgment for the believer. This is called as the judgment seat of Christ. But we will not be a part of the great white throne judgment, which is the separation of the sheep and the goats. So he says, you know, if we abide in him, then when he appears, we have confidence. We have confidence. The word that is used here means especially the fearless trust with which the faithful soul can meet with God. The fearless trust. You know, I'm sure you've heard of different reports. Atheists who have died, you know, and when they died, they were so worried. They did not know what was going to happen to them. They cried out in distress. You've also heard about believers who died and who were conscious when they died, who with the joy they were looking forward to be in his presence. That's the word meaning when you say confidence, okay? To look forward, that you won't hang your head in shame. So the word that is used here speaks about the heart attitude of a saint who lives so close to the Lord Jesus that there's nothing between him and his Lord when he comes. Nothing of known sin in his life when the rapture occurs or when he dies and goes to be with the Lord. How will that be when we are keeping a daily check in our life? When we are keeping a constant yieldedness, you know, to the Lord in our daily walk? It is like when the scripture speaks about Enoch walked with God and he was not, because he went to be with God. So That is the confidence. If you are walking daily with Him, then if you die suddenly, or if Christ comes back in us suddenly, we are still prepared. So John wants us to have that confidence. He wants us to have that confidence. Okay, if we love His appearing and we are looking forward to His appearance, then every day that will be our desire. Lord, this could be the day when I die and go to be with You, or when You're going to come back to take me to be with Yourself. With that approach, we should look at each day, okay? So, he says over here, you know, if we have this confidence, you know, if we have this confidence, you know, then we will not be ashamed, okay? So, these are two options, if you were to say. The positive recognition is, hey, I'm looking forward for His coming. I want to see Him face to face. I want to give Him thanks for taking my place, for being with me all through the years of my life, through all the struggles and the joys and the sorrows. The other option is, Lord, how come You came in so soon? Or, I'm ashamed, Lord, after all that You did for me, I do not make use of my time properly. So two options are there. One option is to have confidence of His coming, or for us to go to be with Him. On the other hand is to be ashamed, to be ashamed. So the question this evening would be, you know, what would be our response, okay? What would be our response? I often think about the song, you know, by Second Chapter of Acts, which was a music group, which said, if this was the very last day of my life, I will not cry because I have been waiting for it. Do we wait for the last day of our lives? Or do we say, Lord, I want more years, more years, more years. Why do we want more years? Just to have a comfortable life, enjoy life here on earth? Or are you looking forward for the last day because you know the last day you're going to be in the presence of God? Is that the confidence that we have? If we have this confidence, then we would be living lives that are bringing glory and honor to God. So that's a question we must ask ourselves this evening. Warren Wiersbe puts it across this way when he says, all believers are accepted, but there's a difference between being accepted and being acceptable. A disobedient child who goes out and gets dirty will be accepted when he comes home, but he will not be treated as though he were acceptable. You know? So this is the two differences. Yes, in Christ, God has accepted us. You know? But would we be found approved unto God? Would we be found acceptable to God? That's what the scripture tells us, isn't it? Study to show yourself approved unto God, that God would put a stamp upon our lives and say, I am well pleased in Him, okay? So a lot of people talk about His coming. A lot of people are looking forward for His coming. A lot of people are looking forward to go to heaven, you know, but they are not living in confidence here on earth and are living lives that are anticipating that. Jesus in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 12 said, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. Okay. He is coming back soon. Yes, that is a certainty, even when you look at all the events. Okay. But you don't have to just sit and study all those events and in your head say, yes, He's coming because of this and this and this and this, and live lives that are, you know, not really looking for His coming. You know, that's a danger, okay? That's a danger. We can get so caught up with Bible prophecy, we can get so caught up with end time events that our lives are not looking forward. Our lives are not matching up. Our lives are not pure. We don't have that confidence that if we were to come back even tonight, or we die to go to be with Him, you know, we would be confident of His presence, okay? So God wants us to have that confidence. Now, when you're looking at these two groups, confidence and to be ashamed, remember He's writing to the church in which there were these false teachers, there were these heretics. So He's also addressing that. A believer can have that confidence, but a heretic who thought he or she was a Christian, who pretended to be a Christian, when he comes back again, then the truth will be exposed. Remember when Jesus spoke about the parable of the 10 virgins, 5 wise, 5 foolish, you know. Preparedness for His coming, having that confidence is what God is really looking for. Outside of the New Testament, the Greek word parousia was often used to speak of the coming of a royal dignitary, perhaps one who was passing through a village on a journey. And people would line the road and give honor as he went past. So John is speaking of taking that imagery. And a big person, a dignitary is coming in. You know, you want to see who that person is. You want to get into the front of the line. You know, now that is the excitement. Not to shrink at the back and say, oh, I don't want to see him. You know, if in case he spots me, I'm in trouble. God wants us to have that confidence each day. Someone has said that Paul's calendar had only 2 days, today and that day. And the man who's ready for that day is ready for any day. But we need to wear our spiritual bifocals and see both the days. Some of the believers are nearsighted, some are farsighted. You know, some only think about this day and not that day. But we must live keeping both days in mind. That this could be the very last day, so you're looking forward with confidence. You know, or if he comes back a little later, you know, you're looking forward for that day and living life that are pure before him. So in verse 29, he writes, if you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone also practices righteousness is born of him. In other words, he's saying, if this is the truth, that Jesus is coming back again, the righteous one is coming back again, if you know this truth, then you should also know that practicing what you believe is definitely very, very important. You know? Knowing that he is righteous is important. Knowing that you need to also practice righteousness, these are the two things that give you the guarantee that you are born in him. Okay, these are the two things. Okay, one is the knowledge of who Jesus is, but the second one is also the application of that knowledge and living a life believing that he is the one, he is coming back to take us to be with him. Let me close with this statement of Warren Wiersbe, where he writes, the difference is that a true Christian knows God. A counterfeit Christian may talk about God, get involved in religious activities, but he does not really know God. But the person who has been born of God through faith in Christ knows the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And because he knows them, he lives a life of obedience. He does not practice sin. So ask ourselves even this evening. You know, yes, he is coming back again soon. Yes, we can die at any moment. You know? None of us have in our life in our hands to say, I'm going to live for so many days. If either one was to happen today, would we have that confidence? Are we looking forward to be in his presence? When will we have that confidence? If daily we are abiding. If we are living lives in our pleasing to him, then you're looking forward for his coming. And that's my prayer for each one of us this evening, that we would live lives prepared, looking forward, as if this was the very last day of our lives. Let's bow our heads in prayer together. Our Father, what a joy to know, Lord, that you are coming back again to take us to be with you. And what a joy to know, Lord, that anytime as your children, we pass from this life to the next, it is into your very presence. So, Father, whether it is to be in your presence as soon as we die, or to see your presence when you come back again, help us, Lord, each day to live with that confidence that we are going to see you, we are going to meet with you, we are going to be joyful for that, that at no point of time would we be ashamed because of the type of life that we are living. So even this evening, we pray that you'd help us to re-examine our lives in the light of your word, even to us this evening, to make sure that if this was the very last day, we would have that confidence to live for you. We would have that confidence to see you face to face. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the presence of your Holy Spirit, who gives us the strength to live with this confidence. And we pray, Lord, that each day of our lives, we will keep both these days in mind, you know, this day and that day, so that our lives will bring glory and honor to you. We love you. We give ourselves into your hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.